B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock. And it's Mike Missinelli's show. 5 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Guided Door and Window. They would like to acknowledge that the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of their minds. Together, we will all get through this difficult time and come out of it stronger than ever. That's Guided Door and Window. Okay, we have a general knowledge announcement coming?
Yes.
We do?
Yes, right now I can do it. A lot of people are stuck, and I know some of the concerts.
Uh-huh.
They've been giving away concert tickets, and
right.
They think they're going to happen. We don't know for sure, but what we will have is a 24-hour rental from our great friends at Imagine. We're going to get that.
Imagine Lifestyles?
Imagine Lifestyles, uh-huh. Yes. It'll be okay. A 1959 Roadster Porsche. Available for general knowledge
wow.
Wednesday this Wednesday.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yes, from...
Oh, that's coming up Wednesday.
Yeah, so the owner of Ryan, a nice guy, loyal listener from Imagine Lifestyles, mm-hmm. He wanted to make sure we had a good prize that people will guarantee to be able to use. They can even social distance while they're in their car if they so choose.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, so I started off this show by being a little cause-oriented here as we all struggle through this whole thing. And this... I don't know. I guess we call it a necessity to get back to sports, and I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the necessity that we have to get back to sports. I understand that sports provides us with an outlet, and we want to get back to, forget sports, we want to get back to normal life as quickly as we can. But the sports thing, I think right now, it's like, so the president's meeting with the commissioners, and it's assured we're going to have a football season, and blah, blah, blah. And I go, I can't even go there at this point. Like, it's not that important to me when sports resumes. It'll be important when sports resumes when we get through this part of it. So, like, all this stuff that's going on that, like, we're teasing the American public, like the UFC and their production that's going to come on. And, you know, we get the horse game coming on. And it's this desperation to throw sports back in there and desperation for the economy to get back and people get out to games. Not that important for people to get out to games right now. It's really not. When it arrives, we will be there. We'll go back out. But right now, I just think it sets the wrong message that instead of adhering to the stay home, isolate, we're like now tempted. Oh, sports, you know, we can get out. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, to me, it's just too soon. I can get there as soon as there's some data. Mm-hmm. It backs it up.
That's the whole thing. There's no data. So, like, talking about, well, we're definitely going to have a football season, I just don't think it's responsible at this point.
I keep telling myself, like you're saying, Mike, to try and deal with this one day mm-hmm. at a time. And it's like, we haven't even gotten to the point where, I guess, we haven't even flattened the curve yet, as what they're saying. You know, the numbers are still coming in higher. So until we even get there, I just can't even think that far ahead.
People have enough to worry about managing this situation without being teased that, oh my God, sports is going to save us. You gotta get that out of your head for right now and pay attention to what you need to pay attention to.
What I was hoping was that at the end of that call, they would say, oh, and all of these 12 leagues or whatever have all given $50 million each, and now we're going to have X number of tests mm-hmm. available because they're going to have factories open and have these, because there is absolutely a way to have college football stadiums open. There is a way. We're not currently doing what's necessary to do it, but there is a way with data to do it. And that's what's bothering me. It's not impossible. I think some people just think that it's just, oh, we just have to hope. No, we don't just have to hope unless we don't do the right things. And currently, we're still not doing the right things, which bothers me.
Correct. All right, let's go back to the phones. Dan in Clifton Heights. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Hey, Mike, how you doing
what's
today?
What's up, Dan? How you doing?
I can't complain. I'm just staying safe like everybody else. So when I heard you guys talking earlier about the drinking thing, it kind of brought up a memory that I really didn't tell too many people. But long story short, I went into the bathroom during halftime one time, and the announcer was in there drinking out of a flask. Don't want to say his name. I mean, unless I don't think I should say his name.
No, you should. You don't have to say his name.
Yeah, but I could.
I think it's indigenous to people who are on the road covering, you know, especially like baseball. Baseball is there's a lot. You're on the road a long time. I mean, there's a lot of games. You're seeing a lot of crap baseball. You know, so it's like, oh my God, what gets me through this game?
Exactly. I can impersonate him though.
You don't have to.
Okay, I won't do it then.
Okay.
But this is back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my other question was as far as I was going to ask about the NBA, but I figured that's not popular right now, so I'd chime in on the underrated bands, and my choice would be the Stray Cats.
Yeah, pretty good. That's a pretty good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stray Cats are underrated.
Definitely underrated, yeah.
They had a kind of a hillbilly style.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wasn't really into them.
They came too early, I think.
Like they had that thing going. All right, brother. Appreciate the call. Let's go. You got Roxy Music up? Since my man brought up an underrated band, Stray Cats. What I play? Love is the Drug? Love is the Drug. There he is. This is... It's like post-glam rock, new wave era.
They're not a bad band.
You heard this song, right? That you grooving to this?
Yeah.
The horn in there.
Ooh, I like the horn.
That's a good band.
It's funky.
Yeah.
There's only one problem with the band.
You'll
hear it in a second.
Ain't no big thing to wear for the pageantry. Ain't no big thing.
What's
matter? What?
Ty's not digging it.
No, I like. Okay.
You don't like the lead singer.
Right. He's the weak link.
He's a genius, this guy.
He's the weak link.
He has that, like...
He's got the new wave sound.
Yeah, but it's kind of like... He sounds like he wants to be Bowie a little, right?
Yeah, he's got kind of...
He's got, like, that Bowie-esque, like, tone to him.
This guy was the whole band.
That's his creation.
I get it.
Brian Ferry. It's the drug.
Yeah.
I'm dreaming of.
Yeah, listen, he's not bad.
No,
but the music is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
He's okay.
Yeah, well, he's got a new wave voice.
Yeah, but that's not
different.
Good.
Well, then you don't like new wave.
No,
there are
new wave guys that could sing.
They kind of had that new wave-esque little tone.
Like in the beginning of the Foo Fighters, it was all Grohl, but then people didn't know Grohl could sing. They Grohl tore it up.
Yeah, but that was rock.
What I'm saying is that I understand that he's the driving force. When he opens up that microphone, he's just a guy.
It's like art rock. It's an art rock hybrid progressive rock new wave blend.
So do it instrumental. To me, how do you like them and not like Cake? That doesn't make sense.
Cake, to me, that's the same thing. Cake is a joke band.
No, they're not.
They are.
Funny.
They do. they talk in it. They talk.
This guy's not really a singer. Like he's good enough. Like he sings better than me, but he doesn't sing well for like a singer.
There were a lot of new wave bands that didn't feature the voice.
The music
it's
is fast.
Different. Flock of seagulls. You're not saying, "Well, what a voice!"
Right?
You know, it's like a new wave thing that came your way.
The music was better than Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah,
the voice the same.
The music was good.
He's really good.
This guy is a very talented guy.
Yeah, the music's great. Right. The voice is like, okay, you sing it like karaoke. That's your level. Like, I would think, like, singer by the band.
Yeah, hey, listen. It's not like Sinatra's front Roxy Music. He had, like, a new wave kind of feel,
but
to
him. But the presentation's good.
All right. Let's go to Joe in Redding. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Joe?
Mike, I'm perplexed that there are no great superstars who became great coaches. It seems like most of the coaches were not great players. How do you explain that?
Because they had a lot of time on the bench to study. That's what it was. Guys that were playing were playing instinctively. Like, they didn't take the time to analyze. You know, it's usually the players, the more obscure players, had a lot of time, more time to analyze stuff.
So you're saying for the stars, it's so natural they don't really they can't pass on to anybody else.
You know, some can. I mean, it's not, there's not a lot of them. Well, who's the best player that ever coached? I don't know who would it be.
I think Magic coached a little while, but not
yeah,
really
but
long.
He doesn't qualify. He wasn't a good. He didn't even like coaching. Like, what? Bill Russell was a player coach. Rudy Tomjanovich coached for a long time. He was a Hall of Fame player who coached successfully. Bird a little bit, yeah. But I guess Bird, but Bird also had a bench coach. Who was the guy he had? Was a longtime NBA assistant coach.
But
yeah, most of those guys are just there to motivate, and you know, I don't think they're more X and O guys.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess in order to be a good player coach, you got to really be the guy who stops and thinks and analyzes, and the good guys, the great players, just do it naturally, I guess.
And a lot of them don't want the job because they have to sacrifice themselves. They almost have to babysit these dudes, right? You're a great player. You don't want to have to babysit anybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
All right, brother.
Thanks, one more question.
Yes, sir.
The fact that we have this long layoff might be a benefit for the Sixers because it'll take some time. By the time they come back, maybe Ben will be well, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the advantage of it, that you get a healthy Ben. But with a healthy Ben, how good are they? Are they good enough to win the East? Like, I'm taking them at their very best. Let's say everybody heals, everybody's great, everybody's supercharged to get back. Are they still better than the Bucks?
Nope.
So, I mean, that's what I got to look at.
So will this layoff save the coach's job?
Well, it's the million-dollar question. I don't think it will, but you know, some guys that cover the team that we've had on think that there's a chance because of the logic of it. If this team was built for the playoffs and you don't get to the playoffs, how can it be his fault? You know?
Well,
you're listening to your TV there. I don't need the playoffs. I don't, my personally, and it's hard for me because I really like the guy, but I don't need the playoffs. I think this team, at its best, doesn't win anything. So I've seen enough. They're not good enough. They're not coached well enough to get them over the top. It's time for a change, in my view.
I still think that's where it'll end up. As far as Jalen Rose loved Larry Bird, because Larry Bird saved him. Larry Brown didn't necessarily treat him so great. But he said there was one time in his practice where they were talking about these corner threes. He was like, why don't you just do this? But it was some ridiculous shot that's really hard, and Bird just made it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bird didn't understand sometimes that, like, Jalen Rose, who was a decade in the league, just couldn't just do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing sometimes. They say Kobe was a good coach with the women, but not necessarily with the guys, because he would expect the guys to just be Kobe.
Yeah.
It's hard to be Kobe.
Yeah. That's why great players don't have any tolerance for that you can't do it. That's why, and none of them really want the job, frankly. If you're a great player, you've made enough money and you don't need to work, really.
And they say that some of them think that guys don't do it because they're not working hard enough. While a coach can recognize a T.J. McConnell is giving it his all, he's not making threes because he doesn't try hard. It's that he can't.
Yeah.
Players, apparently great players, look at it and think, well, TJ, all you have to do is...
Right.
No, they don't recognize, like, the DNA part of it. Because they, like, most great players worked hard, so they think, if you work as hard as me, you'll just be able to dunk from the foul line. No! Like, you won't.
Would Larry Bird have taken the job if it wasn't in the Indiana Pacers?
Probably not.
Would he have coached anywhere else? Like, he was kind of lured into that, like, maybe by Donnie Walsh.
Right, and he didn't do it for a very long time either, but he had some success. Rudy T, I wonder if he didn't get punched in the face and have the concussions and had a longer playing career, because he was like a five-time All-Star. If he's a 10-time All-Star, I bet he says the heck with it. But he might be the best one.
Well, he also was an older school guy, right?
Yeah, he might be the best of them as far as level of play and coaching success. He's like the Venn diagram, because this All-Star player, championship-winning coach. That's a rare thing. Lenny Wilkins.
All right, so Jerry Sloan.
He's a good player, wasn't he?
He was a good coach, too.
Yeah.
For the Jazz were good.
But a certain old-school kind of way, and as soon as he couldn't do it his way, he got out of it.
Yeah, how good was Isaiah as a coach?
Not good. He was actually a decent drafter.
Oh, Doc Rivers.
He wasn't a great player. Good player.
Yeah.
Never lived up to the hype of...
Jason Kidd.
Not that great a coach.
No.
Great player.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
It's amazing that we were talking about last week the Larry Brown Kansas team.
Yes.
And lo and behold, this weekend it's on.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. CBS Sports Channel, I think it was. CBS Sports Network. And I'm texting you right away, because I was at that. I know exactly where I was sitting and watching that game.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, the Oklahoma Kansas game, with Danny Manning going off for 31-17.
Told you that was the first one I remember. That was my first one I remember.
And I'm looking at the coaching staff, and a young Dwayne Casey was on Larry Brown's staff.
He had a heck of a staff.
He had Mark Turgeon, who's now the coach at Maryland.
Man, that's a staff.
He used to have Calipari. Calipari left before
that. 1 year before,
And then he had Big Ed Manning, Danny's father.
They kept cutting him a lot. Right. His family's going to have a title.
I'm looking at it. It's Dwayne Casey. That might be his first job. All right, Carol in Allentown. Carol, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Carol.
Hi.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. My nephew is a landscaper, has his business. My understanding is, first of all, they were on the list of do not open, but you can get special permission. They called a couple of organizations. The thing of it is, everybody has to be in their own truck. Mm-hmm. Only one person per equipment. Can't be switching off. All equipment has to be sanitized at the end of each day. And plus, you know, if you get caught, they will fine you. Now, I know my nephew's conscientious. I'm sorry to say, maybe not everyone is. The other thing is, I was talking to another landscaper, and they're the owner, and they're saying that you cannot force anybody to come to work. If they choose not to come to work because of the virus, they can collect unemployment. You can't challenge it, saying, you know, like you can, I offered him a job. That's not going to hold right now. They can collect unemployment. Plus, with this stimulus.
Yeah, the problem with that is, though, it's very difficult to file these days because there's so many people, and the delay in actually you getting paid is astronomical. So people are cutting corners. You know, I'd rather work. You know, I need to have money coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, and most everybody else, you know, in other industries are in that same situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, you're doing it the right way. And we had another guy who emailed me earlier, said the same thing, these requirements that they have to go by. I was just happened to be walking down the street, and I saw three dudes working together.
Now, the landscaper we use, they're sending emails out before they come and say, please do not approach us.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're saying, we don't, and if you start coming near them, they're going to yell at you, get back away. Let us do our job. Just leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's good information, Carol.
Okay, and listen, one more request.
Yes.
If you have time, could you play God Bless America at the end of your show? Lord knows we need all the help we can get.
Yeah, we're probably not going to be able to get to that, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah, the time constraints with the heart out jams us up.
Yeah.
If this was just a radio program without the TV, absolutely.
Okay. 610-632-0975. Before you get back to the phone, let me get back to my mock draft here. All right, so we had the first 10. The first 10, not a wide receiver was taken. Pushes down, everybody. Good news for the Eagles. Number 11, the New York Jets. Where are they going, Tyrone?
They could go receiver.
They are. Jerry Jeudy, first receiver off the board, is taken at 11 by the Jets. The Las Vegas Raiders then go with...
Did they go, where did they have them going? Did they have them going quarterback?
They went wide receiver.
They also go wide receiver.
CeeDee Lamb at 12. He's my guy.
Yeah.
Raiders take him. San Francisco 49ers at 13.
They don't go. Do they go back to back to back wide receiver?
They go Henry Ruggs. Yeah,
they,
oh, no.
They need a wide receiver. They do.
So the Eagles have to get that pick.
13.
And they, but if San Francisco wants it, it means they got to get 12.
Yeah, the problem with that is they don't have enough to get to 12.
Becton goes 14th to Tampa Bay, the offensive tackle from Louisville. Thomas, the offensive tackle from Georgia, goes to the Broncos. Atlanta Falcons take Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle from South Carolina. The Dallas Cowboys go cornerback C.J. Henderson from Florida.
Yeah, he's the second best one, so they might feel like if you don't get him then, after the Ohio State kid, he's the second best.
He runs 4.439.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Miami Dolphins go Xavier McKinney, safety from Alabama. The Raiders get another pick. They take Antoine Winfield, safety from Minnesota. The Jaguars at 20. Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver from Arizona State.
How about that?
Climbing in there.
So now that's four gone before the Eagles.
Now, this can't possibly be. The Eagles at 21.
Mm-hmm.
Todd McShay has him taking a linebacker. I'd be willing to put money in a shoebox. That doesn't happen. An inside linebacker, Patrick Queen from LSU. Now, does Todd McShay pay attention how the Eagles regard linebackers?
He does. I think he even writes up in his write-up, he does like a caveat, but I didn't like it.
Minnesota Vikings take Justin Jefferson at 22.
Right after.
Yes.
So that if you do that, right?
You realize how disappointed this fan base would be if they did that?
Right. Now he has to be Ray Lewis, or the people are always going to dislike him. Like, look how long people didn't like Brandon Graham because he wasn't Earl Thomas. That's what you're doing to a lot. If you did that, and then they draft a wide receiver, the fans are expecting him to be Ray Lewis, or they're going to hate him, even if he's a good player.
Yeah, see, I'm pretty confident that's not going to happen.
I agree with
that. They're not going to take an inside linebacker.
If it falls that way, they're taking Jefferson or Rieger. Yeah. If it falls the way that he hasn't fallen, they'll take Jefferson or Rieger.
Yeah, I agree. All right, a couple open lines you want to get in. Again, we have no sound off, so we have room for your call at 610-622-0975, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers on this Monday show. Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. Natalie Eganoff standing by. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by the great people at Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Your lawnmower, zero turn, any of your small engine tools. You need parts, get them up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online. Parts Warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Net.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,100 votes today. Do you care about sports right now at all? 63% say yes, 37% say no.
All righty. Sounds good. I've been thinking about the great players of all time who became coaches.
All right.
Who was the best player who became a football coach?
Huh. See, that's probably going to be an old school person. In my modern day, off the top of my head, it's Singletary, off the top of my head, in the modern era. I bet you there's an old-timer person.
Singletary didn't last very long, and he wasn't that good, was he, as a coach?
No, he was not. I'm just saying who became a head coach.
There is an old, the old Raiders guy. He's a pretty good quarterback in the league. Hell, can't remember his name. The guy after Madden.
I don't know.
He played for Madden, I think.
I don't know. See, that's before my...
He might have won a Super Bowl. I'm thinking he had success.
Who was a...
Tom Flores.
Flores?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't a great player, though.
Well, he was a starting quarterback.
Was he a great player?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, like, the NFL, it's kind of scarce when you think about it. Like, great players don't come back as coaches in the NFL, do they?
Didn't Art Shell play in the league?
Yeah, so Archell was an all-pro offensive lineman.
And he won Coach of the Year. I mean, okay. He didn't win a Super Bowl, but he was Coach of the Year
NFL. What if Fleury's, if he won a Super Bowl, it's pretty good, you know?
Yeah, but I always thought people said he wasn't great. I got it. Maybe he was great.
Yeah, two Super Bowls.
As a coach?
Yes.
Now, what was his player stats?
That's a good question. He was a starter, I know, in the league.
I know it's a different era, but...
I'll check it out.
Maybe Boone will have something.
Oh, here it is. Pro Football Reference, Tom Fleury stats. Yeah. He played, he played 10 years in the league.
He was a starter.
He started 7 straight seasons with the Oakland Raiders and one with the Buffalo Bills.
That's not bad.
No, he only threw for 11,959 yards.
Yes.
93 touchdowns.
Yeah, so he wasn't a great player. Trying to think. Art Shell's Singletary to me, not that he was a good coach, is the best player I can think
probably.
Of.
Probably. Yeah, but they're both Hall of Famers. Art Shell and Singletary are Hall of Famers, right? So you can't, like, that's as high a level as you can get.
In that case, Art Shell was a better coach, for sure, than Singletary. For sure.
How about hockey? In hockey... There's the guy that did the trap. The guy that...
Jacques Lemaire?
Jacques Lemaire was a great Canadian player.
He was?
Yes.
See, that's... Oh,
Jacques Lemaire, the trap.
The
Jersey Devils.
I loved and hated Jacques Lemaire.
So he was the... Why? Like, because he was...
I hated that style.
Yeah, that style. Well, they had an outlaw after a while.
Yeah, I hated it. But I thought he was a genius.
He had to be the best hockey guy to coach. I think he's a Hall of Famer, Jacques Lemaire, isn't he?
Yeah, the problem is with the hockey, it's harder to trace back in the day. So, like for all I know, Scotty Bowman played in, like, the WHA at some point or something. That's the weird part about hockey. They would tell me about a guy that played in some league before I was born.
Yeah, well, Lemaire was an NHL star.
NHL star.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was a Canadian star.
Yeah, they've had good players go on to run teams, but not coach.
Yeah.
Like Yzerman.
Right. If you go old school NBA, Lenny Wilkins is probably the best player coach ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because he's one of the
more
top
than Bird.
Five.
He was a coach for years. He was a Hall of Fame player.
He's got top five most wins in NBA history.
Right.
And, and won a title. The Sonics, coaching them.
Yes.
So, it's Lenny. And then, I guess baseball's different, though. Good players become that. Great players become that. Frank Robinson's the best.
Yeah, Frank Robinson is the best player who ever was a manager.
And he was a successful manager for a long time. So it's successful enough.
Yeah, okay. Let's go Brian in Lancaster. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Brian?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for holding the fort down.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Trying times. Mm-hmm. Hey, underrated bands, Talking Heads.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's a really good one, in fact.
I'm telling you, David Byrne, what he did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
The large suit, the Stop Making Sense concert tour.
Yeah, they were phenomenal. That was a really good band together, too.
They were. Yeah, they gelled. They were just...
Yeah, with multi-piece band. You're right on Talking Heads. That's a pretty good call.
Okay, that's all I got.
That was it? Hey, you got it, buddy. You got Talking Heads. Fa, 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 fa.
Yes,
real Psycho fact, Killer.
It's just to throw in something you talked about earlier. Uh-huh. The UFC has finalized, like, it's official that they're going to do a pay-per-view on April 18th on ESPN Plus. Mm-hmm. Pay-per-view for the interim lightweight title. Like, they're legitimately doing this. That's now official. So once this happens, you know what's going to happen. And I don't like it, but since we talked about it, it's now official. Contract signed. ESPN's going to carry
it. Ooze blood, open wounds. Yeah, that's perfect.
There you go.
Yeah, whatever. Let's go Paul in Reading. Paul, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Paul?
I have a football coach that was a pretty good player, too. Was Mike Ditka.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Mike Ditka is a pretty good one there. Does that top Mike Singletary? Was he a better football? Well, he's a Hall of Fame football player, right?
Well, he also won a Super Bowl.
And he won a Super Bowl. Yeah, Dick, is Dick at the level of Mike Singletary as far as the player goes? He's pretty close.
Yeah, I think
so. That's probably the topper.
Yeah.
Mike Ditka.
And how about the Kinks?
The Kinks? Now, I didn't really like the Kinks, but I know a lot of people would agree with that they're an underrated band. I didn't like him. I don't know why. I never warmed up to him.
That's all I got.
All right. The Kinks. How about Traffic? Stevie Winwood.
Huh.
Back in the day.
Are they a great band?
Hey, a lot of people will say the Kinks. In fact, I've read a lot of stories over the years where they say, well, the Kinks were an underrated band. I never felt the Kinks.
Yeah, see, it's not for me.
It's a Brit, it's a Brit thing.
Yeah, it's not
the
for me.
The Kinks.
There's certain bands that I don't get. The Ramones, I never got.
Yeah. How about the Black Crowes?
Black Crowes were a great band until...
Were they underrated, the Black Crowes?
Problem is, all the post-Kay Hudson stuff counts, so no. But pre-Kay Hudson, like, she Yoko Ono'd the band, and then they got back together, and it just wasn't the same. She ruined that band. Like, I hold that against her. They had something good going until she sprung up and ruined it.
You like, hate her.
Yeah.
He has this animosity for Kate Hudson.
I do.
You don't like women to bring dudes down. I noticed that. That's a pattern for you.
I also...
Very sensitive to the woman who brings the dude down.
Well, because... And it's always like... I want to be clear to any woman listening. It's the guy's final... Like, it's his fault.
Yes. Going,
but we all know... Matt and I have talked about this. Where you see a guy with
this
a girl...
extensively.
And a girl, you know she's trouble. Uh-huh. And the guy doesn't see it coming. And by the time he realizes it, he's alienated his friends or his bandmates.
Right. Yeah, but men like women like that.
This is the Yoko principle.
Yes, but the difference is there was no Paul McCartney who was going to break up the band one album later anyway. Yoko gets a bad rap. Paul was the Yoko. Paul's a pain in the butt. Did you see all the good music George Harrison did that Paul didn't let him do? Paul just told him to stand in the corner and shut up. I'll give you one album. I'll give you one song about a son.
I know.
Son
poor King, George.
Here comes the son. George. Then George has the best solo career.
Give me one song about the son.
That's all you'll do. I hate Paul. Paul is the problem, and Yoko takes the blame. He could be here. They would have did one extra album without Yoko, and then they would have broke up.
You could
anyway.
Argue that Yoko made John stronger as a writer.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
Now, they also did those weird things, blowing in a bag and laying down and those screaming. Like, a lot of that was garbage. But at least Lennon was his own man. Oh, that was terrible. Yelling and stuff they were doing, it was terrible. But at least Lennon was his own man by that. Yoko steeled him. I blame Paul. So I don't blame Yoko. I do blame Kay Hudson. Because they were rolling along happy. And then all of a sudden, they stink. Well, they break up and they stink. Because come on. What were you doing, Kay?
Think about how weird it is. Yoko and John are in bed naked.
Yeah.
With white sheets and white comforter, and the press is there.
They're protesting.
Come on in.
Get out of here.
Like, well, today with that.
I'm going to protest in a luxury hotel.
And then how passive aggressive is Paul with the silly love songs? Because he hears that Lennon didn't want to do silly love songs anymore, and then he writes a song called Silly Love Songs. Like, you, Paul, Paul. Like, I love Paul. But hey,
Paul's a savage. You gotta give
Paul
it to
at
him.
The same time.
I know, but he's a savage. That's why he did it.
The vicious world.
Like, why would you do that? I just didn't want to do silly love songs anymore. And here he comes with that. Oh!
610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli Show. Coming down the home stretch. You want to climb in before no sound off? Your calls after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5:45, 5 o'clock hour. We're up against the president, aren't we?
Every day.
Well, what are you going to do?
Can't ask
people
him to
listen
move.
To the president. Sometimes I think that he might get more out of us during the 5 o'clock hour. But,
the
president.
Yeah.
It's been a... I finally figured it out. I've been researching. Is it us? And I look, and no. It's the dress falls during our 5 o'clock hour, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, because on Sundays, it's he did it at 7, right?
Last night? And Saturday was like 3. But Monday through Friday, right during our 5 o'clock hour, our legendary 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
We'll adjust. We'll do something different.
All right. I tried to, like, you know, now my mind's wandering during break, so I'm trying to come up with, like, lists. So I can only get 3 football coaches.
Okay.
That were great players that became good coaches. Ditka, Singletary, Flores.
Yeah, and Singletary wasn't that good, so yeah.
Yeah. Baseball, though.
It's tons, right?
Well, not tons. Frank Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Torre.
Yeah. Good catcher, right?
He's first baseman.
Oh, he's first baseman.
Third baseman. Good hitter, though. Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame caliber numbers. Don Mattingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ryne Sandberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was bad at it.
But he's a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, Hall of Fame player.
And how about this one? Mike Socha.
Yes. Yeah.
Soch.
Yeah. He's still looking for a job, right? Or he still didn't. No one hired him, right? Or am I crazy?
Yeah, no, I don't, he's out of a job.
Yeah.
All right, so basketball. Lenny Wilkins, obviously. Jerry Sloan. How about Pat Riley?
Yes, he played.
He was a good player. Good NBA player.
Phil Jackson was just a role player, right?
Yeah. Pat Riley, I think, was a better player than Phil Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
How about Don Nelson?
Oh, yeah. I forgot he played.
Good player for the Celtics.
Now, D-Lineham is saying that we shorted yeah,
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell.
Well, I mentioned Bill at the top.
I thought you did,
I said
right?
He was a player, a coach.
I always was told he wasn't that good of a coach.
Yeah, a player coach was a different category, so I didn't include him in. George Karl.
Yeah. A pain in the butt. But,
yeah, and did I say Doc Rivers? You got to throw Doc in
there. Yeah, you threw Doc in there.
There's more NBA than there.
Booney.
Hockey, there's Jacques Lemaire, and then there's Jacques Lemaire and Jacques Lemaire.
As far as really good players.
As far as the great player who became a coach.
Booney said Ted Williams managed, too.
He did.
Was he good?
Yeah, he was the classic example of a guy who was too good of a player to manage. He expected everybody to be Ted Williams. Like, he could... Like, Ted Williams was like a brilliant hitter. Only a guy like him knew how he could hit. Like, he would say he could see the ball come off the bat. That's how, and he couldn't understand why anybody else couldn't. So he was a bad manager in that respect. All right, let's go. Frank in Upper Chichester. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Frank?
Just wanted to say hello to you and Tyrone and Allie. And I got a question for you about the underrated, the bands that you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
How about Santana?
They're not underrated.
No, they're not
underrated. They're rated.
Okay. How about Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, probably underrated because they didn't have a long tenure. But I would absolutely say underrated. Brilliant band. Brilliant band. Especially when they throw Neil Young in it. Because they only did really a couple of albums together.
Right, right. Yeah, I really like them too.
Yeah, I mean, they're classic. I'm getting a hankering for this old, like, since I got Alexa, I threw Crosby, Stills, Nash on the other day.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's this good documentary. Have you seen this documentary on David Crosby?
No, I didn't.
You gotta check it out. On Demand, I forget what it's called, but it's on Stars, maybe? It's on there. You can get it. It's really interesting what a mess that guy is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Lenny in Deptford. Lenny, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lenny?
Yo, Mike.
What's up?
How you doing, bud?
Good, man.
Right in the backyard, Billy C. Billy Cunningham.
Oh, Billy C.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr would be another one.
Yeah, there you go. It's
all right.
Three-pointer. You got it, bro. That's all I wanted to tell you.
All right. Billy C.
All right, bro.
All right. All right. Who are they? Like, the best players. Lenny Wilkins was an NBA All-Star.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, obviously one of the all-time greats. Billy C.
Billy C, Hall of Fame.
Great player. That's about it as far as the great players go.
Yeah. Kerr, Rivers, because Kerr was led the league in those three-point shooting, made game-winning shots in finals.
Riley, Carl. I guess Sloan could be considered a semi-great player.
And Rudy T. was a great player.
Rudy T. was
a great player. Before Kerman, I mean, he was making an all-star team every year.
Yes. Yeah, he was a prolific scorer.
I mean, Rudy T. could get his before the unfortunate, assault.
Yeah. Kirk Gibson was a manager for a while, wasn't he?
Yes. Or is he a GM?
He was a manager.
He was a manager up there.
Yeah, for a little briefly. Mark in Washington Township. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, you missed. Love the show.
What's up, Mark?
How you forgetting Rob Brindamore?
Oh, Brindy. Wait, great player? Was he a great player?
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not. He's not a Hall of Famer.
He's right on the edge. He's right there.
I don't think he is.
Well, he's got a cup with as a player.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good name. It's a good name. He was a good player. I think he was a great player. Like Jacques Lemaire was a great player with the Canadiens.
He'd throw Rick Tocchet in there too.
Yeah, Tocchet. Also not a great player.
Just a little short of the Hall of Fame, but
short of the Hall of Fame, man.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think Brindamore's better, but...
You think Brindamore's Hall of Fame worthy?
I think he is. I really do.
Oh, let me look at Brindamore here. Did he... He played 20 years?
Oh, yeah, he played forever. Oh, yeah, he played forever.
Rob Brindamore played 20 years?
Yeah, because look how long he played down south after he left here. And he was...
He played 10 years in Carolina.
See?
He started with the Blues. He was a young phenom. Like, I think he was in the league when he was 19.
One of those guys.
The Blues, and the Flyers got him in a trade. I forget what that trade was.
I'm biased against Brindamore, but not for anything he did. I got so tired of hearing about how he was, quote, the heart and soul of the team that I just started to hate him, even though he didn't do anything.
He has 732 goals in his career.
Wait, how many goals?
And 732.
Nah.
No, I'm sorry. 452.
Four,
452 and 1,184 points.
Nah, he's in.
He's in the Hall of Fame? I forgot about it. I slighted him then.
Yeah,
I apologize to Brindy.
Yeah, he's going to get in with those numbers.
Not that. 20 years. I didn't even realize that. All right, we got to get out of here. Stay tuned. Devon Gibbons is up next on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for Headstrong Mental Health and Sports and Flyers and Sabres from this year.
Yeah, during the big win streak.
Yeah, during the March. March game, right?
Mm-hmm.
March 7th.
Right before it all shut down.
That's right. All right, stay tuned for that. Have a great night, everybody. Again, be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.